right, guys, welcome back to another Halloween October special.
Ooh.
And this one, we're not sure if you've seen it, but we're pretty sure you heard about it. It is the Fear Street trilogy.
Yeah, Netflix released like a whole trilogy of horror movies within like a week of each other.
Yeah.
I think back in August.
So we were like, why not? We want to get kind of freaked out. And we also just love dissecting these Netflix movies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But this is plotted. We're going to be talking about some plots and some storytelling techniques.
Yes.
I'm Jana.
I'm Ashlyn.
And let's jump into it. I have written a haiku.
Plot summary haiku.
Plot summary haiku. Okay. This one is entitled Fear Street Trilogy. Once there was a witch, but the plot veered off the road. Simon is the worst.
Snaps and claps, people. Snaps and claps.
That is my plot summary.
That is the plot summary.
So that's all you need. That's just a sampling for you to go and watch the movies.
Yes.
And then come back, because we're going to jump into some spoilers.
Yes. Starting now. Okay.
So we start in 94?
96, I think.
I don't
know. What? I think you are true.
Okay.
It would make more sense if it was 96, because everything was 1770s. No. It was 1976 and then 1666, so
yeah,
why not 1996?
Why not? This was a really confusing trilogy for me.
It was confusing.
The first movie hurt. And not in a good way.
There were period jokes, people. Good ones.
Simon was the worst character Netflix has ever come up with.
Really? And then
fight me.
And then his description at the end was like, Simon, he's funny and brave.
I was like,
no.
Are we talking about the same person?
Like, that Simon, the Simon that literally, this girl literally is dying and coughs blood on him. And he was like, oh my God, you cough period on me.
I was like, ew.
Ew. I was like, I turned to Jana and I was like, did he literally just say that? She's dying, guys.
The only good thing this trilogy did was having a diverse cast.
Yes, they did so well.
Everything else about it, I did not like. I liked the premise.
It got better
as
it went. Honestly, the main idea and the plot, the overarching plot, let me put it that way.
You have to watch all three movies.
Was pretty good.
Yeah. No, each movie ends in a cliffhanger, so you have to keep watching.
Yes.
Which for me was painful, because the first movie, I did not like.
No, the first movie was... So here's, like, kind of just the gist. Pretty much, apparently, this one town called Shadyside, not subtle at all.
They also call it the serial killer capital of the U.S., and I was like, wow, what a great place to live.
Yeah, it's like, I want to move there, and I want to stay there. Like, let's not move out, apparently, because people... Like, literally every generation, 10 people die from one serial killer.
Just weeding out these poor people in this
town. How do they still have a population? I'll never know.
They must have, like, really good, like, taxes or something. Or really good prices on homes.
It's cheap. No one wants to live there. So, pretty much...
They don't have COVID.
They don't have COVID!
That's why people are living there.
Oh my God.
They have all these other problems, but COVID isn't one of them.
At what cost? But anyway, so what this really, the overarching plot is that there is this witch in this town, and every few years, a serial killer manifests and becomes, like, possessed and kills people.
Yeah, just anyone in the town at any point.
Any point.
Can become possessed.
Exactly.
So you think they prepare people for that?
Yeah.
Like puberty. Well, like, it's like, what to do if you're possessed?
Yeah, but, you know, there's this whole thing where it's like, it's not real, and it's like, listen, this is too convenient and, like, for it not to be real.
Right, it's all centralized in one area.
Yeah, they're like, oh, they just snapped and went crazy. Just like the guy 10 years ago. Like...
And the guy before him, and the person before him, and it's on and on and on.
All the way till 1666.
Yeah.
Yes, I totally get the Satan reference in that year. Good job. Good job, writers. Hats off.
I know. Well, you did something right.
Yay. Snaps and claps.
Right. But yeah, the whole story is on this witch, and they make you believe she's evil. But then at the end we learn that she was framed.
And it's the sheriff, and she was just trying to save everybody.
It was Sheriff Good all along. So our characters are mainly Dina and her girlfriend Sam.
Yes.
Or ex-girlfriend in the first movie.
Yes, and then, I love the twist in the beginning, whenever it hints.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever they hint that she's like, sorry, like when she's
Sam,
very like
you're obsessed with your ex Sam.
Yeah, we're like, oh, it's a boy, teenage drama, and it turns out it's a girl, and I'm like, what? Oh, I'm bad.
I will say again with the diversity thing, I think Netflix did a really good job with it.
Honestly, especially I think they did really well because a lot of
except
like,
for Simon.
Yes. A lot of LGBTQ. I hope I said that right. Yeah. A lot of those relationships in movies are always in the background. Mm-hmm. Or it's always a tragedy.
Yeah.
This one they did really well with making it the center focus in the same kind of love story without it following those tropes.
Right. And the arc lasts all three movies. It's not just like one and done. It's like their love story kind of encompasses all of it.
Yeah, they did really good with the romance.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the movies, Twilight, or like literally any kind of romance at all, they get together in the first movie and then everything after that, it's like, what are we gonna do now?
Yeah.
And like all that sexual tension and all that tension of getting together is gone.
But this movie's like, hey, we got back together. Oh no, she's possessed.
It's like, we gotta figure out how to save her before she kills everyone and then herself.
Yeah.
And then in the
relationship problems, am I right?
And they do also really well with kind of introducing other love romances. In the second one, they introduce Ziggy and Nick.
Yeah.
Which was very, very cute.
I know. Cute. No, they did really good with the romance. I will say in the first movie, and we've talked about this, there's that scene where they're in the school washing off Sam's blood.
Yeah.
That was the worst love scene. And I think they go really heavy-handed with the love stuff.
Listen.
Too heavy-handed.
It made sense with Sam and Dina. Was that her name?
Yeah.
It made sense with them. It did. Cause it,
yeah,
like
the, this might be the end of our
life
type
Sam
thing.
Was being hunted. She that could too. Die.
Yeah.
They're after her. But literally every character in the movie had sex. Sometimes just with themselves.
Simon sucks, man.
Yeah.
The dialogue's so bad.
Yeah.
In those scenes, I was sitting there going, okay.
Because
for everyone.
Because there were two characters, four or five. So, apparently, one was left out. But the other two, that wasn't Sam and Dina,
Dina's little brother
and her
Kate.
Friend.
Yeah.
Which was, that's a whole other weird. If if my friend was like, I'm gonna get with your brother, I'm gonna be like, to hell you are. Like,
fight me.
We about to fight, you about to die. Like,
well, here's a bucket of Sam's blood. Whoops, I spilled it on you.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Like, you run away from the serial killer and I trip you. Like,
I can't help that.
Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, no, that scene was like,
but
just
it was
way off the
and
mark.
And it was forced, too.
Oh,
like,
my gosh,
obviously, he was in love with her.
But they could have kept it like the cute puppy love, like, crush, you know, unrequited.
I was like, she never showed any interest in him, and then at the end, she was like, I'm gonna kiss someone.
I know, I was like,
and then I was like, but that doesn't make any sense. And then Simon's just doing his own thing, like, the whole movie.
Simon just is the worst.
No, he's very misogynistic, too, honestly.
Because
there's a scene where, like, there's this girl crying in the street, and you were like, oh, he's gonna go see if she's okay. And he was like, nah, she was hot.
I gotta say, the dialogue in this movie was the worst.
The
just consistently through all three movies, the dialogue was the worst.
It really was. Except for maybe Dina and Sam. Theirs was fine.
Yeah, their interactions. But like,
these writers have problems with backup characters.
Oh my
side
gosh,
characters.
Yeah. I know, like, we can relate to that. We are really bad at minor characters.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about all the romantic scenes I tried to write and they come out really bad, really bad.
But with this movie, they have minor characters and then at the end, like, most of them get brutally murdered by the end of each movie.
Yeah.
But they try to make you care about them so much. Like, in the second movie, the girl who's trapped in the mines with Heather,
mm-hmm.
who's, I don't know, partner, boyfriend, whoever,
boyfriend.
Yeah, one-night stand, got murdered.
Yeah.
And she's, like, pouring out this tragic backstory, and I was like, I want to care about you, but I just don't. And it's the writing. It's how they wrote you, honey.
Yeah, I was like, honestly, you have a good backstory and everything. It's just that your dialogue is not that great.
Yeah.
And honestly, we don't. And you say you've been friends with this girl forever, but we don't see
right.
it. The only time we do see it, though, is whenever the main, Ziggy's sister, whatever her name is.
Heather, I think.
Poor Heather. Heather, if you're hearing this, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Heather.
I don't know.
More she goes and she hits someone. I think she hits the main guy or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
she just smacks him. And then the friend is like, finally, like, this is my best friend that I lost years ago. And I'm like, oh, connection, and then over.
Like, they just drop it. It's never mentioned again.
Yeah.
Or how at the end of the first movie, the Dina's little brother is typing on the web chat, and he's like,
"Who is that girl? He's
I don't know.
We never know.
I think at the end, like maybe. But anyway, he's typing on the web chat, and I think you pointed this out, and he was like, Kate, or not on the web chat. I don't know. Somewhere in the movie, he's talking, and he was like, Kate's trying to. You know, she was supporting her family, and Simon's doing all this. I was like, why wasn't that explained? No one told me that.
Because they're like, Simon worked really hard to support his family, I was like, and he only sold drugs or whatever to support. And we're like, what?
I know, I was like, Simon was still the worst, though.
I was like, I would have had a little bit more sympathy if he was more of a Schmidt.
Yeah.
Like, for the ones that I've seen New Girl,
yeah.
I would get it, because Schmidt's also, like, not the best at times, but we still love him.
Right. No.
But they tried to Simon do that with Simon, it's just that some of the jokes, they didn't hit home, they weren't funny.
Yeah. Or they're just, the stupid line he has after, so they all, like, kind of get together, and he comes out and he's like, wait, did all of you go to Pound Town? Huh. Me too! And I was like, I hate you so much, and I would trip you in a second.
Yes. It was just so cringy. It was like
eat glass!
I mean, like, honestly, if you wanted to recognize that everyone had sex in that scene, which, why?
Yeah.
There's other ways to do it. Other non-obnoxious ways. That's why they're like, oh, he's funny. No, he's not.
No, he was not.
He's like, just very obnoxious.
I really think annoying. A lot of this movie, like, the errors they made was maybe because they had a production team who was out of touch with, you know, the age group. No, the age group they were pitching these movies to. Because clearly it was for, like, people younger than us. Like
High schoolers. Like 16-year-olds.
But I was like, I don't know any 16-year-old that would find that funny.
No,
you
know? And also, that also brings us to the sex scenes and how much there are.
Oh my gosh, like, too much. Like, there is a time and a place in storytelling for sex scenes.
Yes.
This movie drowned out the more interesting parts of the plot with really weird sex scenes.
Yes, like, for example, the good sex scene in the show was in 1666between Sam and, well, it's not really Sam, but,
it's the whole thing. Go
the two
watch
girls, because they're like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this, this is against the religion, everything, and then they do-ish. Mm-hmm. That really shows, like, the whole struggling with their identity, but also just wanting to do what makes them happy.
Right.
And then also, that also moves the plot.
Right.
And moves the characters' decisions, because that creates all this tension and conflict with the community. Mm-hmm. Because they think, because the two girls have sinned, they're all damned.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. The beginning sex scene does not make sense. Mm-hmm. The sex scene that you just walk in the second movie, and the guy and the girl are just going at it on the counter.
Yeah, I was
very explicitly, by the way.
Yeah, no thank you.
That does not make sense.
No, I really think they threw the drugs and the excessive gore in there for shock value.
Yeah.
Because they had a solid story, and I really think they went wrong with trying to push as much sex, drugs, and gore into it as they could, instead of focusing on the minor characters.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And this is also, it's kind of, like, I get why people do it. It's because sex sells. I get it.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones also was a victim to this in the first season. Of course they have tons of sex after that, too. But it moves the plot, where there's things mentioned. That's almost in Game of Thrones, you have to watch it because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talk about things.
Yeah. Maybe you did. I skipped them. I'm not about that.
Guilty. or you had to, like, Google, like, what it was.
Yeah.
And these, though, that did not drive the plot.
Oh, no. There was nothing important happening in there.
Yeah.
Because you were already getting the character relationships, like, developing naturally.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, shove in something about drugs. Shove in something about someone gets stabbed or someone has sex with another person. And you're like, you don't need that, though.
No.
That's not what this needed. It needed better dialogue.
And better side characters. And,
yeah, oh my gosh.
More developed side characters.
Yeah.
And then it would have been amazing.
Right.
And I think that's why the last movie works so well.
Yeah, because you do get to focus on the side characters
you
more.
You do.
I will say, though, I got really mad at the last movie.
Yeah.
First in the timeline, last in the series. Because they had that priest that went crazy.
Yeah.
The first serial killer and, like, ripped out everyone's eyes. And I was like, this
very
is
gory, very creepy.
I know. This was the one time I was like, okay, the excessive gore, we can deal with this. But I was like, all right, where's this going to go? He's got to be, like, the main villain of this one, right? And he was like, nope, he gets insta-killed.
He gets insta-killed.
And I was like, much potential. Like, this is freaky.
Yes, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but bad writing number one. We've done it. Hands raised.
Support group.
Support group. We know. You cannot write good characters and kill them off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Especially when they just get interesting.
Yes. I do it too. Yeah.
I
killed
here.
The father of my book. I realized he was better being around.
Resurrection.
So that's really kind of... And also, too, they killed side characters in the first movie. The only characters that continue was the main characters. I argue they could have not done that.
Yeah.
I mean, and then brought them all in. But right. I kind of get why they did it. That's a lot of characters for the end of the movie.
Right.
Also,
my roommate brought this up later, but... How they didn't... They introduced all these really cool killers, like the priest, and then just forgot about... Like, you never see all
yes.
of them.
Yes! Okay, so let's talk about the serial killers and how they come back to life.
They have really cool concepts. I like that it was kind of playing off, like, 80s slasher films with, like, the Jason-like massacre and, you know, all the stuff I've grown up with. Psycho Killer, Ruby.
Yes, and they all had their own personalities and their own backstories, and it was very interesting. There was, like, what, four or five of them?
There was a frick ton of them, but they foreshadowed them all in, like, the first movie, and they're like, yeah, this milkman who was killing housewives, and this guy with a disfigured face that dressed up like a doll and, like, killed all these people, and I was like, where are those guys? That is freaky.
Yeah, that's what this story lacked, though, is that in the first movie, okay, we get maybe 5 serial killers. And we're like, okay, we understand. Yeah. Don't be excessive. We know.
Right.
In the second movie, the serial killers come back, and you're thinking, oh, different time frame. It's 1976. This is going to be new serial killers, because literally from 1666 till now, there's, like, what, hundreds?
Yeah.
Like 100?
There's like at least one every year.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So there, yeah, or something like that, once every 10 years or 20 years.
Whoops.
And then, no, it's the same serial killers.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, maybe we can respect that. Third movie, we're like, okay, all of them. You know, like this guy, Mr. Good's about to die. They need to protect him.
It's
they're going to
the
do all of them.
Climactic finale. Everything has come out. All the plot twists have been revealed. Now it's time for Dina to actually save Sam.
Yeah, and now we need more serial killers.
Big showdown in the mall.
Yeah, and they didn't do that. They just kept the same serial killers. It's like, okay, y'all were just getting lazy at this point. Like, you cannot promise serial killers by the 20s and only bring out 5.
Yeah. Hey, it's all the other guys were busy that day. They had other things to do.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, I mean, like, who wouldn't... If we had that priest in the last scene...
Oh, my god,
that would have been crazy.
Oh, man. He was so freaky. I wanted more of him. That would have given me nightmares.
Well, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if they're actually resurrecting their corpses.
Well, yeah. Because
would that be so old that they wouldn't be able to take them because they'll just be dust?
No. Because remember whenever they find, like... the catacombs with where the altar is and they're writing down the names of the serial killers. It's like that fleshy pulsing thing in the earth that's just creating them.
Yeah, he's creating them.
Because if they were reanimating corpses, they would have all died in the first movie when they blew up the bathroom.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Satan does what he wants. He can do anything.
Don't play with altars.
Yes.
I couldn't get it out of my head, so they had the little ritual handbook they passed down to every good. Yeah. All the male goods. And I was like, wouldn't it be funny if they modernized it? Like it was an instruction manual or something.
That would be so, or if it was like a computer or like a little what's it called? USB.
Yeah. How to perform a satanic ritual.
Let's just Google this real quick.
Satanic rituals for dummies.
Yeah.
Actually that's probably a real book. Ooh. Don't mess with that.
Don't Google it.
We live in the South. We don't play with
we
that.
We don't play. But if we're talking also about plot holes, about the book. If you watch till the end after the credits, because we all have learned with Marvel,
we've been conditioned.
I'm just saying, I don't leave any movie till the end. Whenever you go into the little hole cave thing,
the catacombs of the city,
they're actually all taped up and policed off or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. And there's even like numbers and stuff for like evidence, but the book that summoned them is still in the catacomb. It's still there, just chilling. I'm like, that would be the first thing of evidence that they would have taken.
They're not Southern.
No. Oh, or like good policemen. Like, you just gotta leave evidence
I'm just
where
saying,
anyone can grab it.
A New Orleans policeman would see that and be like, That's some voodoo. Get rid of it.
I'm like, this is before Hocus Pocus, because we all know you're supposed to burn books.
Right. Don't light candles.
Don't light candles. Don't read from the book.
Yeah. Oh, man. This, coincidentally, this series I learned is based off the R.L. Stine series called Fear Street. I've never read R.L. Stine. I have immense respect for him because he's been relevant all this time.
Yes.
But his books used to scare me as a child, so I never read them. I happened to notice that Fear Street was based off of them. And I was like, I wonder if they aged this up for the audience that they wanted.
Yeah, because I've wonder never... if there was as much sex and drugs in the movies as there was in the...
Probably
if,
not.
If, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not... Yeah, I can't say anything. I'm not familiar with his work. But I am a librarian. And all of his books are shelved in children's. So...
Yeah, I'm just saying, they could have... I mean, I know people are really kind of trying to go toward what teenagers like, but really, you really need to age them a little bit better.
Right.
I'm not saying put training wheels on them. They're practically adults.
Like, yeah, yeah.
That's not what I'm saying, but, like, don't assume
right
that all those kids want to watch. Sorry. Sorry, teens. Like, treat us like adults, kids. Anyway. It's like, don't assume that they just want to watch sex. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of demeaning.
It reminds me of this old movie that I really like. It's a very niche movie called, Pump It Up or Pump Up the Volume. It's got Christian Slater in it. But the whole theme of it is he's a radio jockey. It's like Radio Rebel.
Oh, yes.
But he's making this point that all the adults in their town think that they're controlled by drugs and sex. And that all they're listening to is drugs and sex. And he uses this brilliant satire about it. And I was like, these Fear Street movies are kind of proving my point here.
Yeah, or like any teenager movie ever.
At least that's what I got.
And it's all about drugs.
That's what I got from Pump Up the Volume. I might be off the mark, but that's what I got from it.
I mean, if y'all disagree and all of the teenagers just want to watch drugs and sex, let us know. But
honestly, it's some of the older people that want to watch drugs and sex, in my opinion.
Yes, and that's even more disturbing.
I'm a librarian. I've seen a lot.
Oh, we're going to have a special segment where we just talk about Jana's library stories.
Oh, gosh.
Y'all will be very well entertained and surprised and disgusted.
Just DM me. I don't know if I can talk about them publicly. I do like my job.
That's true.
But, yeah, Fear Street was just... And we talked about this earlier.
I would give it a 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10? That's pretty good. Yeah.
I respect the plot.
Yeah.
The overarching plot, I respect it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It did keep my attention most of the time.
Yeah.
Right. It just lost points for the fact that it was way too focused on drugs and sex. But also... And it just... The side characters weren't great.
Yeah.
It got better, and the only reason why I'm giving it such a high mark is because it got better as it went on.
It did. I can respect that. So yeah. They did learn a little bit from their mistakes.
Not everything, but they did learn something.
Yeah. Because my concern when Netflix does this, where they're like, oh, we're releasing all these movies at the same time, and they're all in one series. It's like, okay, but that doesn't give you enough time to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
And there are quite a lot of them in the first movie.
And I also think they could have expanded on it a lot more.
Oh, for sure.
There's so many serial killers out there that they made up.
Yeah.
That they could have made this, like, a maybe, like, even release something. It started in August, maybe once a week until the end of October.
Right.
Like, they really could, because there's so many stories there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And, like... I felt like the fight scenes were really long and drawn out because maybe they didn't know what they wanted to do with the plot completely.
Yeah.
And you could argue it's because they were emulating 80s slashers, but I thought it took a lot away from time we could have spent with the characters.
Exactly. I mean, like, I get the whole, like, blood and gore stuff. I will say this. When Ziggy got resurrected, how the hell? She was stabbed multiple times. He's literally, like, resuscitating her with CPR. The more you press down, the more you bleed.
That's what I was thinking, too. When he started CPR, I went, I'm not a doctor, but I don't think.
You're supposed to apply pressure. You're literally pumping all the blood out of her.
Right.
And then she, like, survives. And not just survives. Like, an ambulance has to come, and she's alive through that whole thing. And I'm like, girl, you a zombie or something. Like, you're not supposed to live.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, that was a shock for me. I was like, oh, a plot twist.
I was like, oh, she lived.
I didn't see that one coming.
Well, I was like, maybe she got the breath knocked out of her. Maybe they tried to drown her. Nah, they legit cut her, stabbed her multiple times. Not like, oh, stab, you're dead. It's like, stab, stab, you're now like a mush meat. Like,
yeah,
bad. Like, 17, 20 times stabbed her.
Yeah. Fun fact, when I took my horror movies and gender studies class, stabbing is a way to symbolize loss of innocence.
Well,
so I was like, well, I mean, that's very appropriate.
That's very relevant now.
Because, yeah, I mean, she literally died. And for Ziggy, yeah.
Yeah, because she kind of, she definitely fed into this whole scary story, sort of believed into the witch, and then now her sister died. She died and came back, and now she knows this thing is real, and she has to live with that for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it definitely pertains to her character.
There's so much trauma.
There's so much trauma, but they're just like, it's okay,
barely. I felt like they needed a Where Are They Now scene.
Oh, and you know what? Have you noticed whenever Ziggy in the future and they were, like, interviewing her, she has tons of clocks behind her.
Yeah. What was that about?
Nothing ever explained.
Oh, I thought you might have caught on to something.
Okay, because in my brain, I was like, well, what if she's possessed, too? And she has the clocks on a timer to snap her out of the possession.
Oh, that would be cool.
Right? No. She's just weird.
She just really likes clocks.
It's just, if you ever watch Gilmore Girls, it's that dream where she wakes up and she's surrounded by alarm clocks. That's exactly what it is.
That's me every morning.
Exactly.
When I shut off my 6 alarms.
Yeah, I have like 3 consecutive ones.
Oh.
And it still doesn't do the trick. But I just wanted to point that out because I was really upset because I thought that I was right and I was wrong.
Right. And there was no witch. I was a little disappointed.
Oh, yeah. I kind of wasn't really the magic witch. Yeah, I was kind of, but you know what, I kind of figured it'd be like a Paranorman thing. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, she's like, was a witch, but she was misunderstood.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, I was never a witch, it was always good. But then she also uses like her love magic power and like haunts him, so I don't really know. Maybe it's confusing. Was a witch. All girls are witches, apparently. In a good way.
But say, yeah, we're magic all powerful. Powers. Just don't summon serial killers.
Yeah, don't do that. Or any kind of demons.
Yeah, unless it's for Simon.
Definitely don't summon Simon.
No, I would summon them to get Simon, but yes.
Either way. We are getting to the end of our Fear Street episode, so definitely leave comments. If you have different opinions, let us know. It's okay if you love this movie. Tell us why.
Yeah, please. We're trying to understand.
Yeah, we're trying to understand. We're not trying to put down anyone's taste.
Yeah.
We get it.
It's just not our taste.
It's just not our taste. But if you have a different argument, let us know. We love to read about it.
We are on Instagram at Plotted Podcast. DM us or leave us some comments.
Yes.
I don't know if you can accept questions or comments on this podcast. I will find out.
Yeah, or just, you know, any way you can reach out to us, that's not weird.
Talk to us. We're cool.
Yes. And also, like I said, we're very, like, non-judgmental. So, like, if you have a different opinion, don't be scared.
Yeah. Argue with us.
All right, yes. But about the movie. No politics, please.
I hate your hair.
I hate your hair. Well, you can't see it, so. Oh, wait, no, we have pictures. Dang it.
Your hair sounds bad.
Your hair sounds bad.
I had someone tell me that at the library. Or maybe
really?
Not me. Yeah, someone on our phone, like, they were not in a good mental state, but they went, you sound hideous. And I was like,
well,
is this a Jake from State Farm joke? Because you're hurting my feelings.
I work at State Farm. I hear that joke all the time. I love Jake. All right, guys. Well, this is the end. We will part ways. Let us know what you think. And we will see you, or you will hear us next time.
Yeah, we won't see you.
No, and you won't see us.
We're your ghost hosts.
Ghost hosts.
At least for the rest of this month.
Yes. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.